beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah, our God is an awesome God. See, there are certain adjectives you don't use for men. I somehow cringe when people use the word awesome for men. There are certain things you only reserve for God. God is the only awesome. If there's any English like that. There is nothing that is as awesome as he. Is an awesome God. Hallelujah. You don't know how powerful God is. You don't know how powerful. See, I learned from reading scriptures how dangerous God is. The Bible says you believe that there is God, so you do well. So even demons believe and they tremble. Then I asked myself, what is it about God that makes them tremble? There's something about God that I pray that God will reveal to you that will help you in your journey in life in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it about him that makes them tremble? When Lucifer was flexing in the courts of heaven and when Satan was saying all kinds of stupid things, God sat down there. I told you before, the most Jewish person is God. You know, have you guys seen SUs before? How many of you have seen SUs before? How many of you have made fun of them? If they call you SU, you will tell the person, be careful, I'm not an SU. Amen. God is said to look upon like a sardine stone, Abby. And he sat there, quiet, looking, quiet, you know, just like that, you know, bro. Amen. Satan was decked with all precious stones. So when you look at God and look at Satan, who is more beautiful? Most likely Satan was more beautiful. Amen. This is my own message, yo. It's not in the Bible. I'm just telling you my own. Don't go and preach it outside, yo. Amen. And so when he began to compare himself with God, he felt, I'm better than you. I'm better. And he sat down there, just like, and it's not like that to Satan. It's not like that. Don't do the thing you are doing. You know that kind of SU where we plead SU kind of. But God is the most dangerous person to offend. You see, he doesn't need to get up. Mere thought. He can fight you with mere thought. He doesn't need a hand. He only needs to think it. And the thought will be fighting. It's even worse when he talks. It's even more dangerous when he gets up. Praise God. And it's even very, very dangerous when he now goes into fight. So you can imagine why they tremble when they remember him. Because they have a date. Everybody say a date. We all have a date. And that's why I'm going to speak this morning. Many of you are not aware that there's going to be a date. Many of you are not aware that there is a date we will have to come before him and give account. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 2. Hebrews 6, 2. The Bible spoke about certain doctrines which are foundational. They are called the doctrines of Christ. These doctrines are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. It spoke about the doctrine of baptisms. It spoke about the doctrine of laying on of hands. It spoke about the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. And the last one is eternal judgment. Many of us are not conversant with this particular doctrine. Many of us are not conversant that one day you will stand before God and give an account of your stewardship here on earth. Many of us will take decisions without any inkling or any consideration that an eternity is in front of you. Many of you do things as if you don't care. You do things as if it's your life. Let me tell you, I have bad news for you. It's not your life. You were borrowed. Amen. What did I say you were given? It was a borrow. Or rather, in English, better get you were lent. They lent you. Go use it. And all through the old scriptures, we see that this is a fundamental doctrine that has runs from Genesis to Revelation. You know why it is so? Because God is the ultimate judge. He says he sits, he is the judge. He's the one who raises, he's the one who casts down. Praise God. That God blesses you is not, does not mean that he will not judge you. People are dying left, right, and center. And no one knows when to be your time to cross into eternity. Only a fool does not prepare for a journey. You are going, let's assume you are going to Castina. I don't know how many of us have been to Castina before. Has anybody been to Castina? Pastor, okay. You have not been to Castina, and the day you want to travel, you now get up and go to the motor park. And you go to Ojaoba, and you say, motor Castina, they will ask you and look at you, are you okay? Do they tell you that they've entered Castina here? I don't know whether you understand me. Any reasonable person will begin to find out, how can I get to where? To Castina. And they'll tell you, you don't go to Benin Park. Where do you go to? You go to Abuja Park. I think I'm still correct. Then you get there in Abuja. Then when you get there, they'll drop you at some particular park. You will now take another bus to another, there is Jabi or somewhere. When you get there, you will now connect. If as human beings, you make such decisions, how come you don't prepare for your eternity? We've read it in Ecclesiastes. Fools. Fools don't pay attention to certain things. And we can't afford to be foolish. Amen. A few days ago, I stumbled across a video on YouTube. The video was recorded by a Mexican, no, not Nigerian, no. You know, Nigeria, all of us have funny, we are very funny human beings in Nigeria. I don't know, only God could have created special people like Nigerians. Even the world's afraid of us. Praise God. And the man said, the Lord took him to hell. And in hell, he began to see people of different classes in hell. The one that intrigued me at the end of that testimony, he came across a man. He was drinking and he was smoking. So what was in the bottle was acid. As he drank it, the thing burnt him. As he smoked, the fire burnt him. And the man said he was Sam Loco. And that was his way of life. That was a Mexican. He doesn't know Sam Loco. He said, I'm a Nigerian. I was in Nollywood. I was popular. I was begging God, Lord, Jesus, please forgive me. I will turn back. I said, but I gave you many chances. I spoke to you. I sent people. I did everything, but you just rebuffed me. It's too late. Many of you don't know that hell exists. Many of you don't understand the danger of hell. It is real. Very, very real. And I want to show you certain scriptures this morning to help us to pay attention. Some of you are in church. You have never given your life to Christ. You come to church and you just blend. Your soul is in danger. Big, big time danger. You have to make a decision. And I'm trusting God that you'll make the right one in Jesus' name. Oh, you say, Pastor, you have come to scare us. Yes, I want to scare you this morning. Because the truth is that, really, let me tell you the truth. We are praying that none of us will die young. Praise the Lord. But it's not within anybody's power. It's not within our power. You don't know. Look, they say it's even less than one step between life and death. It's like a breath. Many people have gone to bed, they didn't wake up. You think you are better than them? I was talking to my friend. He just told me, I was chatting with him. Today is Sunday. I chatted with him on Friday. Mommy came back on Friday. Right? It was Friday, we started chatting. He said, I just began to feel, I don't want to mention the name. Praise God.
He was just going to feel one kind. He was just going to the toilet. He was urinating. He was feeling restless. He was just, kilo shele. And he went to check his blood pressure. The thing had shot up. The aerator roof. He said, yeah, I'm dying. Called, ran to the doctor. The doctor decided urine test or something like that. They found, the blood, I don't know which one they did. Sha. They found that his normal blood sugar, it's supposed to be, I don't know the it was about, I think the maximum about 100 and something. Sha. His own was over 480. He was dead already. It was just one more step and we tumbled into eternity. But nobody prepared for it. His body just messed up. Something just triggered it. And his insulin, whatever it was. People die of heart attack. Those people that die in the sleep, it was heart attack that killed them. It doesn't, you don't have to have disease before the thing just shuts down. Look, every time you wake up, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Look, for everything you're going to be working, miracle new. He says it sustains our souls in life. So if it tells you, Ross, come, that's where it ends. I've told you before, a man, Babako, he was driving his Benz, got to roadblock here. No prior evidence of sickness, no nothing. Cars were in front of it. They went to enter, come out of the roadblock to enter the express road. Where's the express? Is it here or here? Praise God. And Baba parked behind the other car. And they were waiting for the road to clear. When the road cleared, Baba didn't move. Engine running. Everybody began to talk, Baba, leave the road. You know how we all are impatient. So when Baba did not hear, some people got there out of anger. Kilo se yen, Baba. Baba the boy is staring. He has gone. When he left, he didn't say goodbye. Don't be a fool. You don't have tomorrow. Nobody has it. That's why Baba said today is a day of salvation. None of us has tomorrow. Now let's look at certain scriptures. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 11:9. I will try and look at many scriptures this morning. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Praise God. I said, praise God. Thank God for youth. Sometimes I wish I would know age. But it's not possible. It's called a possicant. Every time they greet you, happy birthday. Let me tell you the secret. You are dying. I'm not sugar tonguing anything. Just know, after they have greeted you, for God, I have just added 1 year towards eternity. So sometimes I greet people, I said, enjoy this side of eternity. Because you are entering eternity. It says, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But thou should know this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Do whatever you like to do with your youth. I was reading a story of a young girl. Somebody posted it on our WhatsApp group. Very vulgar story, but it's a true story that happened in Nigeria, and it happens every day. Girls from private universities went to one house in Ikoyi, old men, politicians, rich men, having fun with them, young girls. And this guy said, just beckoned to one girl, said the girl's from Bangkok, was smoking weed, naked, all of them were naked. I said, what's the problem? Your parents are rich. He said, is their riches my own? He said, but they take care of you. He said, do they give me a million? And the man said, yeah, but, so do you think I can make a million from this party? If she attends 4 of the parties, she'll make a million. He said, she wants to enjoy herself before she gets committed. The man said he was weak. He said, the lesson, moral lesson, is they train your children. Because when you are looking for money and you leave your child and you get the money, you would have lost her soul or his soul. I tell people, you are in Lagos, you are working, I'm looking for money, but your children are going to hell. Let me tell you, parents. Some parents will go to hell because of their children. Because they did not take care of their children. They did not discipline their children. Did you not know the Bible said that discipline your child and don't be party to his death. He also went on to say about that if you refuse to discipline them and they go to hell, God will hold you responsible. You don't know. Oh, go and read the scripture. It's there. God will hold you responsible. And he will ask you, what did you do to save him from going to hell? He says, say, hey, you're a murderer now. If ordinary, that somebody, I meet somebody like this, who is a sinner, and God said, preach to him. And I refuse to preach to him. And the guy dies. God said, I will be responsible. Because he said it down. He said, watch man, when I told you to speak to the house of Israel, and you refuse, I will be responsible. So anyhow you cut it, it's a very, very terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May we not fall into his hands in Jesus' name. Say, God will hold you responsible. God will bring you to judgment. And that is where I want us to understand and start from. That this race is not rice and beans. It's a serious call that we have to take more seriously than we have hitherto done. It's not about coming to church or be a fine boy. Listen to me, you will... Somebody posted something this morning. I was reading it on WhatsApp. He posted a man on the floor and maggots were eating him. If I have my way, I should take all of you to mortuary. Go and say, fine people. Fine people. Fine. When you say fine, handsome. Unquit completely, but they are there, lying there. So the preacher said, you should also go to the house of mourning. So there you will also consider your own end. That one day you will lie down. If Jesus tarries, what will be your portion? Amen. Let us look at other scriptures. Now, let me go to the story. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I want us to look at this story. It's a story of two characters in the Bible. This is not a metaphor. Because Jesus mentioned names. And his audience would have known these personalities. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? They must have known them. So he said there was a certain rich man, Aforuko Bulashiri. Amen. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. God blessed him. Hallelujah. Next verse. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Praise God. Two personalities contrasting positions in life. I've said it before. Who knows whether these guys went to the same school? Who knows whether they were mates? Who knows whether they were relatives? Who knows whether they were one way or the other? But they were Jews. They were from the family lineage of Abraham. But what happened to the rich man that made him so rich and another son of Abraham that became so poor? Let me tell you the truth. Modern preachers will tell you that rich man pleased God. Am I communicating? I've heard it before. Vince, that was said that if you are not prosperous, God has cursed you. But it's not necessarily true. Glory to God. Because when you read the book of Hebrews 11, there were men who were destitutes. Yet God was pleased to be identified with them. So your position in life is not an indication of whether God is pleased with you or is not pleased with you. Let me understand me. If you are in this worldly system and you understand how this world system works, let me tell you, you will be as rich as Dangote. It's not space science. But that does not mean you are approved. Do you understand me? There were these two characters, and this was very poor, and he was full of sores. Next verse, 21. And the scripture said, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table,
Moreover, the dust came and licked his sores.
Wow. That was bad.
Every morning, the rich man will go out of his house in his limousine, the chariots. Those were the limousines of those days. His horses came from Saudi Arabia. I didn't read it too. Just using my imagination. Praise God. He won't tell me that he didn't see Lazarus. He won't tell me that the window, the AC, he had to wind up. He was seeing Lazarus. And I could imagine Lazarus shouting, whatever his name was, "Sir, help me." And he was saying, "Nonsense. I want to kiss share you. I want this yeah, yeah, people." Thinking that his own station in life was because of favor of God. Amen. This guy was in a very bad situation. And the next verse says, and it came to pass. Look, listen to me, brethren. It will always come to pass. Always. It will always. That's what the psalmist said. That's what the preacher said. One day, you won't talk again. We are trusting God that Jesus will meet us. Paul said that, look, when Jesus will come, those who are dead will meet him in the air. Then those of us who are alive. Paul said it, those of us who are alive. Bro, Paul is dead now. How many years ago? Almost 2,000 years ago, bro, Paul has died. He thought he would see Jesus Christ come back, but he didn't see him. Amen. Which we are believing God that we will see him, but only we will man walk. Praise God. But I will behave as though I will see. The Bible said that there were people who believed the promise, but they did not get it, but they still, and they saw it afar and declared it. Till the day they took their last breath, they were still believing God and thanking him for it. You know, they say, you're not reliable. I can't follow you again. No, you don't do things like that. And this man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Angels met him when he left the body. Praise God. May they meet you. The Bible spoke of Brother Stephen when he was going to die. He said, I saw the Lord standing. They were waiting to receive him in heaven. Those who died did not see Jesus waiting for them. Praise God. May he be waiting for you. Somebody who had an out-of-body experience said, when he says he's coming home, the whole heaven knows when he's coming home. They prepare for his coming. Praise God. He was ever said that in heaven, they have no records of when you buy a car. Hello? Or you build a house. They don't have records. It's not news in heaven. They don't celebrate it. Your child went to university. They don't hear it. It's not news. But when a person is born again, the whole angelic host and the whole heavens rejoice. They rejoice with the Father. Praise Daddy Ekuri, Omoikon Padawale. Praise God. When you do an exploit in the spirit, they rejoice there. But when you build house, nobody cares. Because in any case, everything you and I are doing, is it not dust? Praise God. And it was carried to Abraham's bosom. However, the rich man also died. Both the rich and the poor died. And was buried. I believe when he was buried, there was a lot of funfare. There was no COVID, so there was no restriction. Praise God. I want to believe that they celebrated this man for 7 days. I want to believe that CNN came to his burial. Amen. Did you watch the way Michael Jackson was buried? You didn't watch his burial. Wow. If you watch Michael Jackson's burial, you want to die. When I watch them bury military people in America, I Praise God. These guys have perfected the art of burial. Amen. Unfortunately, the person who is buried does not know how far. Glory to God. But if Brian was buried with great fanfare and all that, and then in verse 23, Wahala began. And where he did find himself? In hell. He closed his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, where did he open it into? It was in hell. Listen to me. This is not a fable. It was a real story. And it is still happening today. People are waking up in hell. And when he lifted up his eyes, let me tell you, in hell, all your faculties will be working. His eyes were working. In case you don't know, your physical body is just a reflection of your reality, your real person. And I always tell people, you know, when you eat, who enjoys the food? Your stomach? Is your soul? Have you drank cold water before on a hot sunny day? How do you... Oko mi bale. It was oko that baled. It was not your body. It was your oko. Amen. So it's just a miss your body. So your body is just some, but the real person, gone. Praise God. His eyes were open. And being in what? Torment. It was not one torment. It was torments that had plural. That they could not define how many they were. Have you really enjoyed? I don't know whether you watch this program on DSTV that where they do this something on food. When they do food contest, when those guys want to judge it, when they taste your food, they start describing flavors. Mama, how did their tongue differentiate? They will tell you this is one something. They will tell you the volume of the flavor and the quantity and why it is counteracting this under that flavor. Now, can you imagine having flavors of pleasures forevermore? This is actually different from what's going to happen in heaven. Said, in his presence there is what? Fullness of joy. And upon his right hand are what? Pleasures. When you have you ever gotten tickled before? When you were growing up? Oh, your growing up was very boring then. But that tickling that looks so fine can be a torture. To back on your level, I watched a film many years ago. They captured this German officer. And when he's going to get information, he said, I cannot talk. I will not talk. Anything you want to do, they say you. They put him on something, tied him down, and got fed up and was tickling his leg. After 10 minutes, he said, I will talk. praise God. But Jesus' own is pleasure. See, as you enter, the pleasure is so much that you have capacity to absorb the pleasure. Amen. But this was also opposite. It's called torments. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, so you can talk. He talked there. Have what? Mercy. This is the cry of everybody in hellfire. They are all believers. You can't find an unbeliever in hell. You can't find an unbeliever in there. Bookmark believers. Because there they now know truth. They now know truth. All the nonsense they've said on earth, when they get there, they'll say, okay, oh yeah, why? But it's too late. It's too late. Yeah, everybody in hell is crying for mercy. Everywhere. All they cry. It's a cry for mercy. God have mercy. I swear, I will not do it again. If it was 1 minute to go back to the earth and correct my mistakes. It says, appointed for men to do what? To die.
But you see, the funny thing is that, I'll get there, don't let me jump. And he said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. How much water can your finger carry? How much water can that carry? Have you tried it before? You put your hand in water and you drop it in somebody's tongue. How much water can it carry to quench your thirst? But that was how much of torment it was in, that a drop of water was just going to be enough for another 1,000 years. Praise God. Let me mention time. There was a man that had an out-of-body experience. He died for 4 days. He was in the East. So this one was confirmed. It's not the ones that people tell lies and wax record. This one had a real-life experience. Doctors, everybody that was involved confirmed that he actually died. He died for 4 days. When he came back, he didn't know he had gone for 4 days. It was like, see, 5 minutes had passed. So in eternity, time stops. Are you with me? So when this thing began to happen, maybe 20 years had even passed before the revival. I don't know on earth. But he said, just a tip of your finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Please, this is not the second death. This is the holding prison before the judgment. Am I communicating? There is a second death called the lake of fire. Only Jubilo. This one is just, they're just preparing them for the lake of fire. Because here that they are saying mercy, many people here believe that God put them in that place unjustly. So in the judgment, they will read their sins to them, and then they will ask them to judge themselves. Just like I said, I don't judge you. I won't judge you. Said Moses, we judge you. Did you not read? He said, what to you, Capernaum, Abi? What to you? He said, if these things that I did in your midst was done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long time ago. He said, but they will rise in judgment against you. That's how God is going to judge. He said, God, my case, you don't understand. I was like this. It was them that did not do. They will call another person. Will come from somewhere. I said, I too went through the same experience. Praise the Lord. In fact, people who are in hell, I don't think people who are in heaven are the people they will call. They will call those who are in hell who did not have the privileges you have. They will stand and they will condemn you. No, that's bad. Bible talks about the contradiction of sinners. A sinner saying that, you were going to sin, they're going to lead you to Milona. Praise God. I'm tormented in this flame. I'm tormented in this flame. It's a real thing. People will be like this for all of eternity. Torment after torment, with no hope of coming back. But they will accuse you, but God, you say you are a merciful God. Did you not say that you are a God of that pardons iniquity? That is where God is very bad. Very, very bad. He can sustain his anger for all of eternity. He won't change his mind. Because it is why you and I are alive today that we can actually repent. Let us continue. But Abraham said, son, Abraham says, son, remember, of course your memory will be intact, that in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. I agree, okay, you have made a point. Lazarus suffered, I did not help him. No, that's fair judgment. But Father, do something for me. Can you send Lazarus to my father's house? Praise God. Look at next verse. Look at next verse 28. For I have five brothers. I have five brothers. Is five brothers make with him were six, were people that they used to sit down, called the seat of the scornful. And talk ill of the ways of God. Make fun of God. Do whatever it was that they didn't find. I'm very sure they would have said to each other, there is no hell. Oh, guys, they just talk nonsense. They just want to make us afraid. We are not afraid. We are men. Praise God. Erobodo. You don't know the say. You don't know that say. Yeah. Oh, man. Erobodo. I don't best odo le rumba. That was once said by a politician in Nigeria. But when he jumped inside Odo, he now knew that Odo is different from Odo. I have five brothers, and I have misled them. Because he was probably the richest amongst them. He was probably the most influential. Please be careful about your influence. We'll give an account of it. It doesn't matter. People may go to hell because of your wrong influence. I have influenced my brothers negatively. Send him there that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Everybody, listen to me, everybody in hell don't want their brothers or sisters to come there. They are very, very considerate. That's the only place where you see pure consideration. When they were on earth, they didn't care whether you ate or you did not eat. They had no love for you. But there, they just suddenly found a revelation of love. Praise God. But really, it's not about love. It's not as if they love people, though. It's because when those guys come and meet them there, they will add to the torment they already have. But it was you that did not let me give my life to Christ. They blew each other. You know my identity, my wife. So, he has wahala already. Don't add to my wahala. Send somebody to go and talk to my brothers. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Verse 29. And Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the preachers. They go to church every day. They hear it on radio. People do town cry. Is it town cry or morning cry? In buses, they hear messages. Whether the people who are preaching to you want to collect money from you, it matters not. But once the word has gone out, you have heard. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them what? Hear. The psalmist said, Jesus Christ said in the book of Revelation, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Majority of us are not listening. We are not paying attention. It's an irritation to us. We feel they have come again. Why are you harassing me? Leave me alone. A time is coming, you will realize that was the best thing they could have done for you. They have the prophets. Let them hear. Let them pay attention. Now, hear the excuse he made. Look, verse 30. He said this. Nay, Father, you are not modern. You don't understand how these things work. If one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They will repent. Lord, you don't understand, sir. When they see somebody who has risen from the dead, come back and talk to them. Immediately, I promise you, sir, they will change. Praise God. Praise God. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He said, no, sir, it's not true. They will repent. I want to tell you one thing. When Jesus rose from the dead, did they repent? Have they not been disputing his resurrection? When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says the graves of all the righteous men that died from Adam till that day rose from their graves, walked the streets of Jerusalem, and people could recognize them, that this is Adam, this is David. They could see them walk. Did Jerusalem repent? No. People are dying. It's only in Nigeria people die and they don't wake up. In America, they die and wake up. What that be our own sin? I don't know our problem. God needs to visit this country. Amen. Have you noticed that people don't give testimony of seeing angels in Nigeria? I think angels are afraid to even show themselves to Nigeria. Because Nigerians, you will scam them. But in America, it's easier to show. Praise God. People are seeing these things. People are coming back from the dead. And they are giving terrifying testimonies. Terrifying. Some have died and gone to hell. Some have died and gone to heaven. But all the stories is all consistent. Hell is real. I don't know why God will allow some people go and never come back, but some will come back. And I think it's because of this rich man that is still echoing in the heart, in the ears of God, that sent somebody from the dead. People are coming back, but nobody's changing. Do you need somebody to rise from the dead before you hear? Or will you listen to the prophets and the apostles of the Lamb and you will change? My conclusion this morning, I can't go through all the scriptures I have. Maybe I should just look at one and then I'll go. Please permit me one scripture. Jesus warned. Look at Matthew. Matthew 10:28. I'll read two scriptures. It says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body." Where? In hell. Next verse says, "Yea, I say, fear him." May God bless you with the fear of God. Amen. Many people don't fear God. Many people think that he's weak. Or just like, no, many people don't think that he's weak. They say God is too loving. God is too, he's a God of love. I was in UK, I was talking with my friends. And when I saw the wickedness in the city, and I asked my friends, they've been in UK for years. I said, "This is your place is like Sodom and Gomorrah." See, they don't know that there's hell, yeah? And my friends responded vehemently, "You don't preach about hell here." "Ah, no. I said, then what do you preach?" "You just tell them the love of God." "Ah. Maybe we're going to fire. All of you, including you. God is love, it is true. But they also say it's a consuming fire. You must have a balanced understanding of who God is. Amen. Last scripture, and I will go. As a promise. Matthew 5, verse 29. As a promise. This is a scripture that many of us must pay attention to. "If thy right eye offend thee," what should you do? "Pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast where? Into hell." I want to ask you, what is preventing you from escaping the hell beneath? There is a scripture that speaks about, you know, escaping from hell beneath. Hell is beneath. Heaven is above. Hallelujah. What is preventing you? What is preventing you? What is holding you? What is encumbering, I'm using KJV language, your thoughts that you can't break away? Is it fornication? "Pastor, that thing's sweet. I agree. But will you throw away an eternity for 5 minutes of pleasure?" Does it make sense? Eh? Does it make sense? You have acquired all the riches. You are richer than Bill Gates. Jesus asked the question, "What will you give in exchange for your soul? The riches of this world?" So if you find out that your problem is with your eyes. Okay, thank you. Say, help from beneath is move. Okay, no, this is not the one I'm talking about. So you go through the whole Bible, you find it is there. In fact, somebody said that they mention hell in Bible more than heaven. I've not done the check. What is holding you back? Is it party? Are they friends? Say, if these things are there, say, cut them off. Pluck them off. Do away with them. Is it popularity? Do away with it. What are the things that draw our attention? That take, ambition. If your right eye caused thee to see, say, remove it. Let me tell you one thing. If you live long, you live 100 years. By the time you are crossing 80, you are useless for everybody. Except God grants you to have the grace like Moses. The Bible said, his life force did not diminish. At 120, he was as strong. Caleb said, at 80, I'm still as strong as when I was 40. Those are rare cases. Praise God. We look for 100 years, throw away an eternity. Does it make sense? Does it? It doesn't. One person said he saw a 13-year-old boy in hell. That story that I spoke about, Mexico, he said he saw a 13-year-old boy. 13-year-old boy in hell. After the age of 6 or thereabout, you have come to the place of accountability. You know right and wrong. You are good enough to be a candidate of heaven or a candidate of hellfire. Said the 13-year-old boy, what brought you here? He was disobedient to parents. Did the word of God not say it? He said, honor your father and what? Your mother. When they give him instructions, he flares up. He fights. He does everything. Read the Bible. Follow God. He was stubborn from youth. 13-year-old, the crossroad car hit him. And he appeared in hellfire. Jesus Christ said, I can't help you. You had enough warning. You knew what was right for what was wrong. All kinds of people are there. The old, the young, the middle, the fine, the handsome, the ugly. Everybody is there. But my prayer is that you will not join them. I want us to bow our heads to pray. I want to first and foremost ask those, look, if you are not sure that you have a relationship with Jesus, I think you better make peace with him now. Because you should not get there and go and start talking like that rich man. I said, please send somebody to go and tell my people not to come here. It's not supposed to be that. You have heard the message today. Don't go there. Change the course. Repent of your ways. And ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. Because that is the first thing. When a man dies, it's an automatic separation. God does not come to separate men. Your nature will take you to where you deserve. If you have never been a believer, and you are not a believer at the time of crossing into eternity, you will naturally drop down into hell. Make peace with God. And ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse your heart. If you are backsliding and you have gone into pleasure, you must turn back today. And tell the Lord, I'm sorry. I've lived a wayward life. Like the prodigal son, you must return home. And put a stop to that wayward life. You are enjoying your youth, but let me tell you, there's a price. But the price is high. You don't need to pay that price. It's not worth the pleasure. It's not worth the pleasure. There's nothing here that can satisfy. Nothing in this world satisfies. It's all a lie. And if you're a believer, the Bible says, let he that thinketh to stand, take heed, lest he falls. You don't take chances. You don't assume that I'm okay. You must check your heart. You must keep asking the Lord to wash. If you're in this hall today and you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand up. I want to pray with you. You've never done it before. Raise up your hand. I will pray with you. You can't afford to be ashamed. Because we're talking about eternity. If you are backsliding and you want to rededicate your life, raise up your hand. I can pray. Father, I thank you for that. Some of us, we are playing with sin. We are toying with sin. You are watching pornography, you are entertaining thoughts of masturbation and all those evil things. You are entertaining them. They defile. It's a form of backsliding. Then raise up your hand and let me pray with you that the Lord will deliver you. Father, we thank you. Lord, I commit your child to your care. I pray as the heart is being rededicated that you will receive this heart and cleanse this heart and strengthen this heart, that this heart will not fail in the name of Jesus. I commit every one of us in this hall this morning. I pray, Father, for mercy that we will not miss the way. We will not land in this horrible place. Whatever it is that we are doing that may take us there, Father, intercept us. It's mercy I'm asking for. I pray that your love will prevail and save us from hell beneath in the name of Jesus. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. May your sacrifice over us not be a waste in the name of Jesus. The things that we are holding on to that may cause us to go to hell, let there be a severance between us and those things. Even forcefully, if you have to break our legs as you had to do for Jacob, Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.